Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Man, he gets another strikeout there. And he strikes out Devers for a second time. Called third strike.
That is how Astros games are supposed to go. You got a good starting pitcher or a great starting pitcher on the mound. The guy goes out and the guy cleans up. Justin Verlander threw 6 innings last night. Finally gives you a night worthy of Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford, I guess. 6 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 0 earned runs along the way, 5 hits, 1 walk, 96 pitches, 67 of them strikes, and an incredible F-off delivered to one Alex Cora. That, my friends, is exactly what we want to see from that guy, and not just him. We're talking about Framber Valdez. We're talking about Christian Javier. And to an extent, we're talking about it from Hunter Brown, who a lot of people love to say last year, this guy's Justin Verlander 2.0. Well, this year begs to differ, but that's how it's supposed to go. You get a great night of starting pitching. You get enough offense, 7 runs on 8 hits, and Boston pooping their pants in the field over and over again. They have 5 errors already this series. 5. You got Martin Maldonado continuing to lead the Astros after that team meeting. They are 2-0 and are making up 1 game a day on the Texas Rangers since that team meeting. John Singleton, 2 doubles. Everyone was complaining about Yiner Diaz being in the starting lineup and not being in the starting lineup and only getting in because Yordan Alvarez stubbed his hand on a door, which actually happened. Nope, Dusty was right. You were wrong. Dusty knew. You didn't. So you get enough offense. You get a great night of starting pitching. And generally, you want a little more from the bullpen than you got last night. Kendall Graveman, since the Astros traded for him, only 2 hitless and walkless appearances in those 10 appearances that he's made since returning to the team. And you just never want to see Ryan Stanek or Rafael Montero. Where are all the people that are saying Rafael Montero is turning things around? Rafael Montero is like your garbage time pitcher. He's the back of garbage time. You don't use him unless it's a 5-run game and the thing is completely in hand. So the Astros win, and they are now, guys, 1/2 a game back of the Texas Rangers in the American League West. You know what that means? It means it's time for another episode of Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a Ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. Cause the eyes of the Ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
Cause that's where the Ranger's gonna be.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
We might need to change that open as soon as tomorrow. Although, I'm gonna be doing the show at Circa in Las Vegas with Jeremy Branham tomorrow.
But yeah, we have the weekend to do it.
Right. We could push this back, Sean. And hopefully the Astros stay in front so it's not something that we have to switch up.
We'll check the AL West standings Sunday night to see where we're at. Maybe we make actually what we probably should do is just make the new one. Or not make the new one. All we have to take out.
Yeah.
All we have to do is take out you saying maybe in front.
You know what?
And then have one, you know, depending on the standing.
We could just get rid of the and also in front because it's just look behind you.
Because
the Rangers have been behind the Astros for years. They are now half a game up on the Astros after a sixth straight loss. Credit to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who also are 2-0 after a team meeting that they had. Shout out to team meetings.
Why doesn't everyone just have a team meeting every night?
Every night!
Then everyone goes undefeated.
You're right, Sean. Though, there is a point where, as a collective, as a group, you can have too many meetings. If you work for a corporation, I bet that you probably at least once a month, if not once a week, have to have some sort of meeting. And generally, these meetings don't accomplish anything, right? It's just resetting what you're supposed to do.
But those meetings, you know what those meetings don't have? Martin Maldonado, baby.
Hell yes. 2-0. The Astros are since 13
meeting. That's a productive meeting.
Diamondbacks, 2-0 since 13 meeting.
Shout out to their Martin Maldonado.
And also, Sean Mapes, shout out to the Blue. We back the Blue. We do. Umpires. I like a fun, bad umpire. Everyone hates on Angel Hernandez. Yeah, he's not very good, but he's fun. A little sprinkling of excitement with a rogue umpire in the middle of a baseball game. It's going to jazz things up a little bit. It's going to invoke passion in you that you didn't know you had for a dying sport like baseball. But shout out to Monday night home plate umpire Doug Eddings, who had a massive strike zone. I saw the highlights of it yesterday, and it seemingly helped Arizona more than it helped Texas. He missed on 21 of 139 calls in that game. It's the second lowest correct call rate all year. Maybe there was a little money handed his way because somebody was betting on the Diamondbacks. Whatever the case, we support Doug Eddings, especially if it makes the whiny Texas Rangers broadcast react like this.
Proving to be big for the Rangers. 1-1 foul.
No, what? What in the world?
That is incredibly frustrating.
I mean, not only is it outside, but it's mislocation.
It's a big-time mislocation.
I don't know. The umpire begs to differ. That was a strike. That was a strike. These guys, they whine so much. Love it. Give me some more of that.
I might actually start tuning in to the Bally Southwest.
I have been watching it, and I'm not going to lie. It's a fun hate watch. One of the perks of having Fubo TV.
Especially if they one of the many perks of having Fubo TV. I think now it's even better because
they're
now
they're falling apart.
Now they're losing. So like not only is the team falling apart, I'm sure the broadcast is just falling apart too.
Look, I want Tap. I want to know what's up.
Nah, he's not gonna call in.
He's
he only
call
calls in at the height of the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only a day where the Astros lose and the Rangers win. He goes, it's 6.5 up. Paul, you said that they would lose the division by June.
That's not a bad impersonation.
I've heard a lot of people that sound like Tab in my life.
We do like Tab, though. We do like him. He's part of our family. So Alex Cora used to be part of the Astros family. That was fun, huh? He gets tossed from the game. We'll talk more about him getting tossed a little bit later. But I do want to go back to Justin Verlander's performance. We like the 9 strikeouts. We love the F-off. There's nothing quite as satisfying as telling somebody to go F-off. Truly, I love telling people that. And people will get mad when I do it. But no, I think it's a very casual way to dismiss somebody. Or a sexier way to say shut up. And maybe it's because I watch a little too much Succession. Maybe it's because I like Roy Kent a lot from Ted Lasso. But I think that the two words bleep off are wonderful, as Justin Verlander did to Alex Cora, who was yapping about a lot last night. Bleep off, Alex. Love it. From the 936, known cheater Alex Cora argues clear ball with ump. That's from Eric the Driver. Are we allowed to call Alex Cora a cheater, or is he more of a cheater than the Astros? That's something you get to answer in the next segment.
He's definitely a cheater.
More of a cheater, right? Because he did it in Boston after doing it in Houston.
Yeah.
He's a disease. Like, he's spreading this across baseball, this cheating.
Yeah, because there was no cheating in baseball before the 2017 Astros.
He does get forgotten.
No, yeah,
to the Astros.
Because he still gets to coach the Boston Red Sox.
I mean, it's pretty ridiculous how scot-free he's gotten off.
It's crazy.
He got suspended basically for a year, and they just brought him back, and people still get mad about the Astros. The Red Sox won a World Series, too. They beat the Astros to win a World Series. We never talk about Cora at all. 713-780-3776. That's how you call in. It's how you text into the show. Do we have a masshole listening? We got Sully in Somerville calling in. I believe that is a neighborhood outside of Boston. Sully?
Yeah, kid. This is Sully in Somerville. You need to watch your fucking mouth when it comes to the Red Sox, dude. You talking all this shit when the Astros have just won two rings? One of them's got an asterisk. We got four rings. Four! Going all the way back to 2004. Southern trash.
Whoa.
Hang on. Done. You guys are lucky that Justin Verlander had an umpire on his payroll. Alex Cora was in his right last night. And you know what? Just like any man from Boston, you ever throw hands, a Boston dude will kick your ass. Just like in the Revolutionary War.
Well.
Go yourself.
Okay. That is Sully from Somerville, everybody. 713.
That was a great dismissal, too.
3776. Yeah, he told me to go bleep myself. He called me Southern Trash. Does he know where I'm from? He knows I'm from there. I don't really want to be from there. Sean, shout out to you, by the way, with all those bleeps.
In real time, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty crazy that we didn't get moved to afternoons with that. The production work from you, the just unbelievable talent from me. It's fine. Like, we don't obsess over the lineup every single day, you know? We don't think that Will Anderson's not good enough. Those are the takes that get you to prime time.
Wait, which lineup are we not obsessing over?
Great point, Sean.
The one in Houston, yeah.
The one in Houston. Not the one against the Boston Red Sox, that I guess is also in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it as well. If you have any thoughts on last night's game. Do we hate Alex Cora? Because he was here in 2017, but it does seem like he has gotten off scot-free, despite perhaps being a worse cheater than the Astros, who, yes, did cheat, but they got away with it. It's fun. You get to answer that next on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. Guys, listen, if you want to make money by being a degen, no, by being an expert on football, the way to do it is with my friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. They have three Nevada locations. I'm going to the one in Las Vegas tomorrow. Hello, I can't wait. Going to be doing shows from the pool with J-Bone wearing extremely short shorts, watching whatever sporting match is going on. And on top of that, I'm going to sign up for some prizes that could win me a ton of money because I am a football expert. There's the Survivor Challenge, $1,000 down at one of Circa's three Nevada area locations. You pick five games against the spread every single week from the comfort of your own home. First place, $1 million. Last place, $100,000. Or maybe it's the Circa Survivor Challenge, where guess what? If you pick a winner, you can't pick the same winner 2 weeks in a row. You can't pick the same winner twice at all. 20 weeks through this regular season, you pick a correct straight-up winner. $8 million in your pocket. But you got to do it at the Circa Resort and Casino. Sign up while you still can for the Circa Survivor or Circa Million Challenge.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Some people responding to Sully from Somerville calling in. A text, is that the Sully that landed the plane in the Hudson? No, he's more like the movie with Denzel Washington where Denzel's drunk and flies the plane upside down, possibly accidentally. That is more Sully's lane. You know, it is interesting. If not for Boston being a bunch of drunk tryhards, we probably wouldn't have gotten into the Revolutionary War, which ultimately was a good thing, but it really took Boston being Boston in the 1770s for us to end up going to war against, at the time, the preeminent power in the world. It's interesting from the perspective of they should not have started that fight. It's akin to me trying to start a fight with an NFL defensive lineman. Like, what are you doing? I think the rest of the colonies were probably like, Boston, can you calm down? Calm down. Get off the sauce like you're Sully from Somerville at 10 in the morning. I guess it's 9 o'clock. Wait, is it 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock. That's how time zones work.
We got Carl in Cyprus calling in about Sully. Carl, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? I got a message for Surly in Somerville. Hey, he wants a Texas horse whooping. He can keep it up. But we got a couple of things I'm going to ask him to do first. He needs to get on his Paul Revere act and start screaming the Astros are coming because we're going to take it again this year.
Okay.
And if he makes me mad again, we're going to send him another Bill O'Brien up there. So
ooh, okay, that's a good threat. I like that, Carl. Like, at first, we're definitely workshopping some things here for open mic night. Not going to lie. Like, I've written jokes like that before, as evidenced by my time at the Improv, but I like that. Threatening him with a return by Bill O'Brien. People in Massachusetts kind of forget that he sucked when he was offensive coordinator. Like, I'm a Patriots fan. I remember Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator. I was not that thrilled when they hired him as head coach. I wanted Ken Whisenhunt. That would have been worse, but O'Brien as an offensive coordinator was not great with the Patriots. People seem to forget that.
But what you have to remember now, though, Bill O'Brien isn't replacing Josh McDaniels. He's not replacing, Charlie Weiss. He's not replacing,
Matt Patricia.
An offensive coordinator. He's not replacing an offensive coordinator whatsoever. He's replacing Matt Patricia.
He's replacing a guy who had a laminated play sheet and a pencil.
Even if he's like...
It's the most amazing combination ever.
Even if he's like... literally the 16th bet, like, the most average offensive coordinator there is.
Mm-hmm.
That is still such a step up from what they had.
It really is. It really is. All right, guys, do we hate Alex Cora? I was not aware of this story off the top of my head. And I'm glad that Jeremy Branham retweeted this yesterday. Killer Bees, 3-6 right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's a story about, I think, a bus ride home when the Astros were trying to figure out where they were playing next in the midst of Hurricane Harvey. Here's the passage. On the drive to downtown Houston, Cora started playing music loudly on a speaker. Jeff Blum was trying to get a hold of his wife. And some of the broadcast crew were also trying to reach out to families and figure out which roads were open. The logistics of disaster, one person on the bus recalled. One of the TV crew members noted that they couldn't hear their phone call. Blum, annoyed by the music, quietly went up to Cora's seat. Any other day, crank it. But if you can just turn it down a little bit and let us kind of figure out how we're going to get home, see the families are okay. Cora shot back. Oh, you want me to turn it down? You want me to turn it down? I'll turn it down. How about I just turn it off? Seems like a reasonable suggestion, but seems like he was pissy about it. Blum said thanks, went back to his seat. 5 minutes later, Cora walked past Blum, and all of a sudden, he was hovering right over him, saying, quote, I bet if Puerto Rico was going through this, you'd be playing the music. Blum snapped. You got to be kidding me. How dare you say that? There's no way I'd be doing that. You can't bring that up right now. And then Cora called Jeff Blum the C word. Whoa. Oh, we're not done. Jeff Blum, what are you talking about? Cora, I saw you talking to AJ Hinch, referring to it. Blum basically tried to downplay this so that they didn't get in a squab. And this passage notes, Jeff Blum's a big dude. He is. I've met Jeff. Jeff's been very nice to me. But a big guy. Like, I wouldn't mess with him. And he's probably, yeah, 6'3", 220, 230 or so. And Cora's like 6 feet, 200. People thought the fight was going to happen. Cora stopped. Afterwards said, you, me, after the bus. Blum told Cora he was sorry. For what? Blum, though, being the broadcaster, the professionals, probably trying to make nice by the Astros. Cora snapped, screamed again on the loading dock at Hinch 2, saying, quote, he's your buddy. You want him to be your bench coach. You don't trust me. It's been like this all year long. This is just business. So Cora's been known to throw a temper tantrum or two, and I feel like you could certainly argue that some drinks were had. Nonetheless, in this passage, it says Cora was clearly drunk. On the bus, you could see it. It wasn't that long ago, like 2 days ago, when the Red Sox beat the Yankees in that series, Alex Cora, former Astros bench coach, was seemingly in the midst of some sort of alcoholic, some sort of alcohol-related party. So he's drinking after beating the Yankees. It's fine. It's a Red Sox thing. They did it in 2011 when they had one of the most epic collapses in baseball history.
I think they had a reporter say that, like, you could, like, literally smell beer on Alex Cora. But I think it's because some of it was poured on him by the team. I'm sure some of them got in his mouth, too. I'm sure.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to drink it. He was trying to stay awake. He's a manager.
Stop, stop. But as he was yelling stop, his mouth was wide open. That's how he got some Bud Light in his mouth.
He wouldn't drink Bud Light. Come on, man. Don't say that. May as well call him another slur that apparently Cora called Jeff Blum. Jeez, Sean. Anyway.
That's not the worst thing that Alex Cora's been called in the last 12 hours in Houston.
Cora, last night, not only did Justin Verlander tell him to F off, because Verlander was having, I guess, some issues with the pitch com, and Cora was like, no, you're not. There was a strike called, check that, a ball called on an Astros hitter that had not been called a strike, that had been called a strike the inning before when Justin Turner was at the plate for Boston. So here's the replay via NESN, New England Sports Network, of Cora losing it and pulling a Justin Verlander, yelling F off himself.
That's going to be ball four, so Bregman's on. Oh, here comes Cora. He is out of this game. He's been thrown out. He's been angry tonight at a couple of calls. And frankly, one of the best umpires in baseball behind home plate, but not necessarily having a great night.
He even started kicking the plate. I mean, he really got into it on this one.
Also, so apparently it was because of, like, one call was a strike for the Astros. Then the next right. half inning, it was a ball
for
the—
I think it was because it was that close to one another.
But the actual pitches were not that close to one another. Like, they're both on the outside part of the plate. Okay. But the Astros one was at least, relative. Like, that's normally called a strike. Like, that is something that's not crazy that it's called a strike. Okay. The Red Sox one would have been the Rangers broadcast would have flown into Houston and committed seppuku if they saw that ball get called a strike.
Oh, no. Okay.
They'd be freaking out.
Okay. So maybe it was a little bad.
It always blows my mind that managers who probably have, one of the worst seats to actually see whether a call is a ball or a strike, because they're, at knee level with the plate, basically. And, looking sideways at it, and how can he tell if it's a ball or strike? I never understand that.
I don't either.
I don't really
understand. I don't either.
Same thing with, fans, too. I'm I think 90% of the people are just, complaining just to complain. I don't think they can actually see, actually whether it's a ball or strike.
Especially if so. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, let me just think about the logistics of this. So, Alex Bregman, right-handed batter. And generally, the visiting team is in the third base dugout, correct?
Yes, at Minute Maid Park, that is.
How the hell would he have seen?
Through Alex Bregman.
Was he pulling one of his old tricks? Was somebody watching video in the clubhouse?
He checks his Apple Watch. Oh, okay, I have to complain about this
one.
All right.
Sean, honestly, I think we're onto something here. So it's either that or he was drinking, which is, again, something that the Boston Red Sox have done. Look, Sean, I'm not accusing him. I'm just saying the Red Sox
Those are the options.
They've been drunk in the clubhouse before. They have. 2011.
Well, oh, yeah. John Lackey and Josh Beckett.
Josh Beckett, John Lackey. They're eating chicken wings and drinking beer in the clubhouse. It's a Boston thing.
Yeah.
So just.
It's a Boston thing. You wouldn't understand.
You would not.
Actually, I think everyone understands chicken and beer. I think everyone understands how cool that is.
It's pretty nice. It's a nice combo. He's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Alex Cora, forgotten Hayden figure in baseball that does not get nearly enough guff. Last night, nice little reminder that it kind of sucks. Anyway, up next, 15 days away from the start of the NFL season. One ESPN 97.5 host isn't thrilled with what he's seen from Will Anderson thus far. Should the Texans have taken this guy instead? Because he's kicking ass at training camp. You'll find out who we're talking about next.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Emotional damage.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Gallant Show.
Astros did beat the Red Sox last night and are just half a game back of the Texas Rangers. Seattle won as well. One game separating three teams atop the AL West. We also saw, courtesy of umpire scorecards, technically, Pat Hoberg, umpire for last night's Astros-Red Sox game, the Astros again won 7-3, was in favor of the Red Sox. 0.6 runs worth of favor towards the Red Sox. I didn't know they could measure that.
I think they add up if a missed call costs half a percent of a run or something. They just add it up like that. But yeah, normally unless it's I don't know, over one, you don't really care about it. And the fact is, it's pretty even in favor of the Red Sox. What are we doing? What are we doing, Alex Cora?
I agree. Called 149 of 159, taking pitches correctly. 0.3 fewer correct calls in the average ump. So it was a slightly, slightly below average day for
0.3%. And that the 0.3 is what got Alex Cora thrown out of the game.
Without umpires, we won't get managers thrown out of games. Is that not fun? Everyone wants to go to the strike zone. I'm sorry. I will stand by this. This isn't a take out of rationality. This is a take about what makes the most entertaining regular season baseball game. A game with umpires. It's good to get mad about stuff in sports. You hate to admit it, but you know it's true. Anyway, let's shift to the National Football League. 15 days away from the start, Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, has been canceled because he endorses State Farm. Canceled. And I like Patrick Mahomes, but there are certain corporations you can't stand with. A lot of you people got mad about a couple of golfers who were, you know, exploring opportunities with Saudi Arabia. And for me, it's much worse to be associated with State Farm.
You do know who's no longer associated with State Farm other than yourself?
Chris Paul?
No, Aaron Rodgers reportedly is no longer a State Farm athlete.
I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy now, even though he's on the Jets.
Yeah, it's reported by NBC Sports as Aaron Rodgers, State Farm in their 12-year relationship.
Did it just end today? Are we breaking some more news?
2 hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, some of these are like 20 hours ago.
We're breaking some more news.
Yeah, but 2 hours ago, we broke them.
The Eagles are in the midst of joint practices with the Indianapolis Colts. If you've listened to this show, you would know that they are the adopted team of the Paul Gallant Show because of Channelview High's own Jalen Hurts, who apparently has been demanding that his teammates blame him for losing the Super Bowl because of that fumble six that he had. I like it.
He also threw for like 350 yards.
He did. He was awesome in that game, but he's being like Batman.
Yeah, yeah. We have to paint him as the villain. We have to hate him because he can take it. Yeah. He's our watchful protector, our Dark Knight.
It's the best part of that movie. I love the Dark Knight. So good. But there's a guy that the Houston Texans could have drafted. Some thought he was the best prospect in this year's draft. And I'm sure Jeremy Branham, who I guess was saying on yesterday's afternoon show that Will Anderson didn't impress him on that play where he blew up the running back to get the sack. I don't know what it's going to take for you to get impressed by Will Anderson then, Jeremy. But an interesting just thought based off of Jalen Carter, the guy thought to be the best player perhaps in this year's draft class. He has been cooking at camp, and specifically in these joint practices with the Colts, to the point that Eagles cornerback Darius Slay called Carter a, quote, baby rhino, end quote. That is something we're going to be looking at down the road. I do think that it could have worked for Jalen Carter here in Houston. I don't know if the McNair family would have ever signed off on Carter given the whole offseason that he had. Seemed like the remorse factor maybe wasn't where you'd want it to be given his involvement in a speeding tragedy that seemed like it involved a couple of it might have involved alcohol with two people on the Georgia football team, one a player, one an assistant, dying in said wreck. Like, it's one of those things where maybe that was a factor, but the ultimate player with D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, could it have worked here? It's going to work in Philadelphia because he's playing with a lot of veterans on that defensive line. And, of course, they just went to the Super Bowl. And based off of everything we're seeing, like, really the only thing that seems like that might hold him back is if he does something dumb off the field.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's that, like, the only questions about him was the, like, is he going to do something dumb? But, like, there's never any, like, this guy can't play. Like, he was going to be he's going to be probably a top three pick if, you know, the Georgia thing never happened. I think it's a little early to be like, yeah, because, I mean, I hope not. I hope that this isn't true, but he's still a kid. He can still do something dumb and get himself in trouble again. Like, that's why he fell. It wasn't because he couldn't play.
Yeah.
And also, yes, I think you bring up a good point that, like, basically once that happened, I don't think the McNairs are going to sign off on drafting him.
But he fixes more issues on that defense than Will Anderson does right away. Just
immediately, yeah.
Because of the kind of player he is. He's a defensive tackle. He's an interior defensive lineman. Your run defense obviously sucked on Saturday. Your run defense sucked last year. And I like everything I've been hearing about Will Anderson thus far. I obviously haven't been out at training camp practices. But he has an incredible first step. And I thought he was impressive on that play where he blasted through a Dolphins running back and still made the sack. Like, you still get slowed down when you run through a human being, and he still was able to power through and get the sack.
Yeah, it's also like he wasn't unblocked. The play was designed for him to get blocked by the running back, and he sent him into the turf. Actually, the natural grass.
Yes, the natural grass. Thank you. It's very natural. You don't want to. It's not the pallet grass system, though, that you had at NRG Stadium before, which injured then Eagles linebacker, now Texans head coach, D'Amico Ryans. It was that pallet grass field. By the way, did you see the video of Jason Kelce absolutely wrecking Zaire Franklin in that brawl between the Eagles and Colts yesterday at joint practice? It actually ended up canceling practice, and Jalen Hurts, who we love, was mad about it at the very end. To make matters worse, imagine being Zaire Franklin. Kelce just blasts you. And then afterwards, he says, like, oh, but Zaire's a tremendous player, and I feel bad about what I did. Like, expressing remorse after just sending him flying in the middle of practice. He lights him up. You should look this up, because I think Zaire Franklin's a big guy, right? I don't know what he is compared to Jason Kelce, but I'm pretty sure he's a big person.
Yeah, also the worst part is that, you know, like, this is going to get talked about, not only because Kelce will talk to the media, mm-hmm. but then also, I don't know when they record their podcast, but you know he's going to hop on the podcast and talk, and then I'm going to see it on my Twitter feed 3 days later. Like, he's going to be hearing about this for, like, a couple weeks, and it's pretty dumb because it was, like, a thing in practice.
You hate to see an Indianapolis Colt look bad. You just hate to see it. You hate it. Anthony Richardson, who did not play in the Colts preseason game number 2, by the way, is probably starting for Indianapolis tomorrow night. I don't know what the Colts are doing. I feel bad for Shane Steichen, the new head coach, because of this Jim Mercy versus Jonathan Taylor situation. Like, he comes into this team, and he's probably not going to have Jonathan Taylor this year. And he also has to field questions about Jonathan Taylor when it seems like this is legitimately between ownership and Taylor, not between the Colts coaching staff, new coaching staff. And Taylor. So he's getting asked a couple of questions about it yesterday, and he was really trying to say, like, hey, ask Chris Ballard about it. Well, guess what? General managers almost are never made available for press conferences. Like, you're kind of screwed as the head coach. You have to answer for everything, even though it's generally, there's a lot of questions that'll be asked that you can't physically answer.
And even just, like, on the field. Like, so Shane Steichen, he has the starting quarterback who's started 12 or 13 college games. Is pretty raw, just inexperienced, and when you take the job, you're thinking, well, at least I'll have a great running back to, you know, ease up on the rookie quarterback. It's like, actually, because of stuff that's happening literally at the ownership level, because the owner tweets like Elon Musk, we cannot have him for week one.
Did you see someone theorized that Musk is using too much ketamine? And that this is leading to some of his erratic behavior. But saw that posted online by an actual publication. I'm like, that seems like reckless speculation against one of the most, I don't know, influential people in the world. Like, watch out. You better have your I's dotted and your T's crossed.
I was going to say, also, like, one of the most, like, takes this personally, like, billionaires in the world. Like, not only is he a billionaire, but he also, like, definitely has, like, read that and now is plotting on ways to get back at you.
New York Post, Elon Musk's escalated ketamine use could explain his penchant for erratic decision-making at X.
This is honestly, like, that article is more dangerous than your little slip-up talking about Alex Cora.
What little slip-up is that?
I don't want to maybe get you in trouble, but you said it may have been alcohol and an alcohol problem, and then you said an alcoholic.
Let's land the plane, okay? We're Sully, not Denzel Washington in flight.
No, that's someone else. Allegedly.
Do you hate Alex Cora? Serious question. Guy was a part of the Astros in 2017, did some stuff with the Red Sox. The Astros are hated more than he is. It's kind of ridiculous, right? He's the manager of a Boston team. How does this work? That's on the table. Plus, we're going to lick Jim Crane's boot a little bit more. My God, there are some bad owners in baseball. More stories next. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. I want to give them a phone call today and ask them if there is a way for me to bet on the Red Sox to have two errors today. I looked up on the website. I wasn't able to find it, but I did see that the Red Sox, with Chris Sale on the mound, are 1.5-run favorites over Jose Urquidy and the Astros tonight. Chris Sale, he doesn't even have a butt. Seriously, he has no butt. MyBookie.ag, though, is a fantastic place if you want to make the games you watch a little bit more interesting, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, golf. Futures odds for football. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the season. There's bonuses, a welcome bonus if you just sign up, a reload bonus for existing customers. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
You never know what you're going to get.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Astros won over the Boston Red Sox last night, 7-3. They're a half game back of the Texas Rangers in the AL West. The Seattle Mariners are a half game back of them, one game separating all three. And former Astro bench coach Alex Cora was ejected from that game for arguing with balls and strikes. Justin Verlander also told him to F off along the way. Gotta love saying F off. Who doesn't? Come on. It's a great just way to tell someone to zip it. You could say it in a bunch of different ways too. Like you can say it aggressively or you can say it in a joking and loving manner. It's very important though that it's like said. If it's written out, it always comes across as a little bit aggressive. I found that out the hard way. Because every now and then I'll send a friend that and they'll get mad at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just telling you to bleep off. Like, bleep off, not bleep off. Like, you know, I'm not trying to sound like a hardo here and make you scared of me.
Yeah, but the nuance gets lost.
It does.
Over text.
It does. This is why I really don't write anymore and I don't use Twitter at all. Is because it's a lot better when I get to tell it to you in my sing-songy, metrosexual kind of way. Guys, we love Jim Crane on this radio show. Partly because he's the owner of the most successful franchise in town, but also partly because in a sport like his, he is truly one of the few owners in baseball that, at least when it comes to giving his fans the best possible product, doesn't suck. So let's lick a boot.
Can Astros owner Jim Crane do any wrong? Of course not!
We're really proud of the rings.
I'm never satisfied.
Let us all gather round and lick the boot of the greatest owner in Houston sports by making fun of other bad owners.
I hope you've washed your ass this morning. It's about to be kissed.
So the Milwaukee Brewers might be moving to Nashville. And if I'm not mistaken, the ballpark that the Brewers play in is a nice ballpark. It's not the newest ballpark in the world, and this sort of goes to show you that we now live in a world where a nice stadium is no longer nice 20 years later. The Brewers are asking for $448 million worth of needed renovations. And since they haven't been able to get that money, their lease, which runs through 2030, could be the end of their time in Milwaukee. Nashville is a place they are thinking about possibly relocating to. It is crazy that a sports team can wield this kind of power. I read an article about the idea that if you publicly finance a stadium, it brings jobs in. And that's bull. It's complete crap. Essentially, it's like a mini department store as far as its overall impact on the local economy. And the fact that since you will be generally hosting a team with athletes who are paying into a high tax bracket, really the most money that the local area makes is because of the athletes who are paying local taxes. So, like, that's essentially the only perk that comes with a nice stadium. And all these owners, they want renovations. And I suppose you could look back in time at guys like Bud Adams and say, okay, well, maybe he was right about the Astrodome, which was turning into a dump. But it is pretty crazy, the shelf life of these stadiums. Now, you got to wonder about Minute Maid Park. You got to wonder about NRG Stadium. Like, those stadiums are, what, 20 years old or so? A little bit older than 20 years? 25 years, I think, in the case of Minute Maid Park, almost?
Yeah. Miller Park opened, or not, well, now it's called something else, but the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium that they're trying to move out of by 2030, that opened in 20, I have it up, in 01.
Okay. Yeah, because so, I remember it was a cool ballpark to play in if you played in MVP Baseball 2005. I like to play as the Brewers sometimes.
Yeah, and I think Minute Maid was, like, around then, maybe, like, 99 or something.
Okay.
Hold on. I can... While you're looking,
let me tell you a story about another team that could be moving. The Chicago White Sox, who have their lease expire with their stadium in 6 years, are also thinking about moving to Nashville. So I guess everyone just moves to Nashville. It's the Oilers first. It could be either the Brewers or the White Sox. I guess the last time the White Sox threatened to move, what happened was there was a stadium built in St. Petersburg, Florida, Tropicana Field, for them, but the White Sox did not want to move a team there after the legislators gave the White Sox money. And to avoid being sued for fraud, baseball created the Rays. That's what some people believe is the reason that the Rays existed, is because the White Sox weaseled their way out of a deal that would have moved them to St. Petersburg. And then after they got money, but didn't take the money, baseball had to create the Rays for that. So the cheap-ass Rays, which does kind of add up.
Yeah. Like, it makes sense why the Rays are, like, run the way they are, because they basically should never have existed.
Nope. No. No. So, two ownerships in baseball, the Brewers and the White Sox, are talking about moving.
I kind of hope that they both move. I know it won't happen. Chances are that neither of them move to Nashville, because the fact that, like, the lease for Milwaukee doesn't actually expire until 2030, it's like, that's such a long time from now. Like, a politician somewhere will buckle and probably give them their money.
Probably. And it's a shame. I feel bad. Milwaukee's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've ever been. I love Milwaukee. I was shocked by how much I liked it the first time I went. I went there for a wedding. It was in the middle of the summer. Beautiful place.
But
really.
It would be hilarious if they moved to Nashville and the White Sox moved to Nashville. Now, all of a sudden, there's just two baseball teams in Nashville for no reason.
That would be awesome.
It's like the only team. It's like New York, Los Angeles, and Nashville have two teams.
Some people are talking about Miami Stadium. The AC was insane. See, the AC is underrated. The AC's, that's why I like Tropicana Field. It's got air conditioning. People hate on it. It's got air conditioning, guys. By the way, John Angelos, we're talking about bad owners. This is our lick the boot segment. We lick Jim Crane's boot because he's not these people. John Angelos has gone over a period of about like 2 to 3 weeks from denying that the Orioles suspended Kevin Brown for literally just reading facts. They've gone from that, trying to have people take the story down and that they will sue, to saying, no, we were just rotating our broadcast talent, to saying it's been mischaracterized by the media but not clarifying as to why, to now launching an internal review as to why Brown actually got suspended. John Angelos said, like, it shouldn't have happened and it's never going to happen again. I'm going to take a look at this. What a jackass.
What do you think happens first? John Angelos finds who actually suspended Kevin Brown? Or does O.J. Simpson find the real killer of his ex-wife? What happens first?
The latter, probably. I think we're making progress on the latter.
What's up, X-World?
So, guys, Jim Crane, he's comparatively a good owner. Maybe doesn't have the best people skills with some of the people that work for him. And, you know,
last year's offseason wasn't perfect by any means.
No, it was not.
But at least
he's a little too involved.
At least not defrauding local city governments or, you know, I don't even know what you call what John Angelos is doing.
By the way, he also is doing that, Sean. John Angelos, who got $600 million from the state of Maryland, also was trying to get the state of Maryland to sue baseball so they wouldn't have to pay $100 million in rights fees to the Washington Nationals. This guy is such a weasel.
It's also crazy because I went from not knowing who this guy is, who owned the Baltimore Orioles. I had no idea. Like the day before MLK Day, whichever day. No, that was this year, right? Mm-hmm. This MLK Day where he was like, please, let's not talk about business on MLK Day. as he scheduled a press conference for MLK Day.
We had no idea who he was. And now all of a sudden it's like, wow, this guy's such a clown.
He's like a cartoon villain.
Good point on the text line, though. It would be nice if Minute Maid Park had better air conditioning. The Minute Maid the air conditioning at Minute Maid Park sucks. It's not good. When that stadium is crowded, especially like the season opener this year, like it was April. It was boiling. Like I was sweating.
Yeah. If only there's a way to, you know, crack a window or something.
Yeah, gosh. Especially on dog day on Saturday. Excuse me, Sunday. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros took down the Red Sox 7-3 last night. Justin Verlander looked great. Alex Cora looked like a whiny little baby. That is all on the table. Let me tell you about my friends at the Pendleton Roundup, which led to the creation of Pendleton Whiskey. Did a little digging on the Pendleton Roundup. Did you know this rodeo was invented back in 1910? So it's actually older than Houston's. And it led to the creation of something that's equally renowned, something that defines what it means to be a cowboy. Pendleton Whiskey, baby, captures a unique spirit in every bottle. I started drinking it this weekend. I'm telling you, this stuff is refreshing. It's not too sweet. It's really, really good whiskey, and it's made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood glacier water. It's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour and the Pendleton Roundup.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
One is screaming, he's so happy. The other screaming, a passionate shout, it's the Night Man.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.